Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Right now, our guest is Daniel Yohanan, who is the Vice President for Gospel for Asia. And we're going to talk about the subject of COVID-19 and the second most populous country in the world, that is India, where they've had, I guess, a major lockdown of sorts. And there's even the problem of potential starvation for some people, and Gospel for Asia, as well as other ministries, are stepping to the plate and helping in the name of Christ. So it's wonderful news. We'll get the full details here from Daniel. Daniel, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
It's good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Sure. First of all, go ahead and explain the scenario, for India and the whole COVID-19 crisis. And again, this is the second most populous country. It's about 1 billion people, I believe.
Yeah, there's over 1.4 billion people in India. It's the second largest populated country in the entire world. It is a huge challenge in terms of trying to deal with the COVID-19 situation. And there is vast differences between how many of these countries in the East in more challenging situations and also countries in the West deal with things. One of the most difficult situations that we have in some of these countries like India and Sri Lanka, Bangladesh and others is that you have literally millions of people who are migrant workers who are making their way back to their homes. And it's one of those situations where we may not be familiar with this, but, you know, people from one state or from one end of the country will go down to the other end of the country or different parts to find work or to stay there and sometimes be there for many, many years working and establishing their lives and their families. And all of a sudden this crisis hits and there's no work and there's nothing to do and there's no money, there's no food. And so they're literally making their way back to where they're from. And some of them are walking. Some of them are hitching rides on trucks. Some of them are going by bicycle. There was this one family who had a cycle rickshaw, which is like a bicycle pulling a small cart, typically used for selling vegetables. And this is what that family does. They sold vegetables for a living on the street side. And this person, with his family, he had driven his, you know, bicycle, in a sense, for 1,200 miles to get back home. And some of our people were able to meet him on the way and talk to him and encourage him and actually give them food. And this is happening all over the place where you literally have millions of people on the move who have no place to go, no place to stay, and they are just simply trying to make their way back. And a lot of people, you know, they'll ask me, why would they do that? Why don't they just stay where they are? Many of these people are worried about their families. They don't know how their families are doing. They want to get back home. Second is, if you are used to getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to start your work and you have something significant to do and all of a sudden that's taken away from you, you don't want to just sit around and do nothing. You just literally rot to death. And third, you know, if you don't have food and you don't have money and you have nothing else to do, it's not a very exciting opportunity to just sit there and do nothing. You miss your home, you miss your food, you miss your familiar, you know, environment. And so you have so many people making their way back home, and it's heartbreaking. Met so many people that have said, we haven't eaten anything in 3 days, 4 days. So many people saying, thank you so much for helping us along the way. And this is the reality for millions of people right now that are on the brink of starvation in some of these areas.
And I understand India has had a very severe lockdown of sorts. Tell us about that.
You know, I think every country has taken, you know, the extreme efforts of trying to prevent the spread of the coronavirus. And, you know, India is no different. Sri Lanka is no different. Within the context and within their guidelines, they have basically locked everything down. In some cases, people, you know, except these migrant workers, are not even allowed to really go outside their homes or their properties to, go buy food or to go to the store. Schools are shut down, which is kind of normal for everyone. But this is a situation. It's not just a lockdown. It's the prolonged lockdown. Whereas, you know, in our country, you know, the restrictions were social distancing, but go to the grocery store and get your food. You know, you can still order out and get food from restaurants. In many of these places, that's not the case. Mm. They are having to stay in their home. They can't go out to the groceries. The exception may be going to the hospital or some emergency transportation and things like that. And so, you know, here's another reality that kind of paints a picture for us is, you know, on the streets of Mumbai and some of these other places, you literally would have millions of people on the streets, and you would also have tens of thousands of beggars that would be begging from those who are going to and from work. And all of a sudden you have all these people that live on the street who literally are surviving day by day through begging and asking people for help. They have no one to beg from. They have no one to ask help from. And so this is an incredible situation that it's extremely devastating. And like you said, the lockdown is very severe, but the risk is also extremely severe because you have so many people in so tight quarters that, you know, Prime Minister Modi and others are trying to make the best decisions for their nation. They have to think about their people, but they're kind of left with this dire situation of, do I watch my people starve to death, or do I watch them catch this virus and possibly lose so many people from the virus? And so, you know, I challenge everyone to be praying for the leaders of the nation, especially Prime Minister Modi, President Trump, Vice President Pence, and so many others who have to make these incredible decisions that none of us have to deal with in that sense. And so we must ask God to bless them and help them and to provide wisdom for them.
And what is Gospel for Asia actually doing in India?
You know, one of the things that we have always been doing, and most people don't realize this, is clean water projects are extremely important right now, and this is something that we've always done for many years. Gospel for Asia helps put in more clean water projects than anyone else in the entire world, biosand filters and Jesus wells or the deep water wells. And right now, when everything is locked down, you have these projects that we put in place where people can actually have access to clean drinking water. They're not walking far away to far places to get water. Most of the people in the villages don't have access to water that's running to their home. You literally have to go outside and fetch the water and bring it back. And, you know, if you don't have a deep water well in your village, or you are not allowed to take the water from the well because of your social status, then you literally have to walk miles away to go get water. But because of these clean water projects, you find that the sanitation is better, hygiene is better. We've taught hand washing for years. That's just part of our, you know, help in the society, especially even with the Bridge of Hope Kids program that we teach them how to wash hands, the preventative hygiene classes that we've taken for literally tens of thousands of people. So I'm extremely proud that we have been able to prepare people in significant ways, and literally hundreds of thousands of people are helped because of the efforts through Gospel for Asia. Our Christmas catalog campaign of giving gifts of goats and chickens and buffaloes, helping people with self-sustaining gifts to be able to help break the cycle of poverty. These are things that are helping these families right now. They've got food. They are able to sustain themselves while everything is being locked down. And so besides those things, many of our leaders and people on the field are doing as much as they can to bring hope and healing and distribute food to as many people as possible, especially these migrant laborers. One of our leaders, they're preparing about 500 meals a day and just going out to the streets and
wow.
And as people are flocking by, you know, starving, they're able to give, you know, some of these people food. And one of our leaders, you know, he even gave money from his own pocket for this one family that hadn't eaten in 3 days and had a little baby in the back of their, you know, their bicycle rickshaw. And it's heartbreaking when you hear these things and to realize at the same time, it's so exciting to see that God is at work helping and blessing people through our brothers and sisters. Some of these small parishes that we have, they're taking their own money and cooking as much food as they can and helping people. And this is what Gospel for Asia is all about, bringing hope and healing to people's lives at the same time, helping them to know how much Christ loves them and to bring hope to their lives.
So your work then is basically through the local churches throughout India. Is that right?
You know, our vision and passion has always been to ask the simple question, what's the most effective way for people to hear about Christ, and then answer that question and go after that. And what we found in many of the places that we serve in, which are either restricted or closed to outsiders to come in to do specific work for the gospel, we found that those who are from their own country, who know the language, like the bugs, like the food, like the climate, have lived there their whole life, it makes a lot more sense to entrust them and to pray with them and support them and stand with them as they bring the message of Christ's love to these people that are in so desperate need. And we've seen that so effectively, even right now, where they are reaching out to their own people, and as we stand with them in prayer and support, we can see God's kingdom built even faster.
Give us an idea, as far as India is concerned, about the makeup religiously. 1.4 billion people. I know the vast majority are Hindus. I also know there are more Muslims in India than there are in Pakistan, even though Pakistan is explicitly a Muslim nation. In fact, it was carved out of, it's what used to be West Pakistan, and East Pakistan was Bangladesh. But anyway, there's actually more Muslims in India than there are in Pakistan. But what's the status as far as Christians are concerned? I think there's more than 2% now, right? Or something like that.
Yeah, I don't have the exact numbers for how many Christians are there, but I do know this. There's
about
more Christians in India than there are in all of America, just because the population is so large. And so even if you take 2% or 3% of the nation, you're talking, you know, hundreds of millions of people. But this is the reality. You know, the way we see things is God has created all of us in his image, and all of us are desperately longing to know our Savior, and our hearts break for that. And for so many that come from these different religions, whether they're Buddhist or Hindu or Muslim or Jains or Sikhs, it is their heart cry that they would somehow find peace in their life. And when they hear about Christ, what they have not heard of their entire life, and for many places you go, and if you say, do you know Jesus, they'll literally say to you, you know, your friend Jesus is not here, check the next village. They have no idea what you're talking about. But when you bring the love, the love of Christ in word and deed, and you tell them what Christ has done for them, it literally changes their life, and their life is forever change in a new direction. And so, you know, our challenge is that there is so much opportunity. There's so much that we could be doing. We could do, you know, double or triple our efforts in so many ways. It's just, you know, what we need is people to stand with us in prayer and support so that we can see it done. This is, you know, echoing the words of Christ, you know, pray to the Lord, the harvest, and send laborers to the field. It's not that the harvest is not there. The harvest is plentiful. It's just the laborers are few. And, you know, what God has called all of us to do as Christians, all of us globally, is to live a missions lifestyle, to live with eternity in mind, that our prayer and our tears would go out for those who don't know him, and that we would make our daily decisions in light of eternity, not for right now, but for what actually matters in eternity. And that is our challenge for the body of Christ globally, to be looking and seeing, you know, what God is doing, and then jump on board with that.
What is the website of Gospel for Asia?
The best way that people can learn more about Gospel for Asia or get involved is by going to gfa.org, and you can learn more about the COVID-19 efforts, more about the water wells that we dig, more about the Bridge of Hope, the Children's Project, and so many other things where people can get involved. Lots of things you can pray for, can make it part of your church's prayer request on a weekly basis. But if people go to gfa.org, you can learn as much information as you can and how to get involved.
Okay, Daniel Yohannan. We have 20 seconds left. Any comment about the persecution of Christians by the Hindu majority in India?
You know, there is always persecution in every place that we work in. And this is something I think, you know, which is extremely important for all of us is, you know, we tell our own people, go read Matthew's Gospel chapter 10, read the book of Acts, read it and learn and see that Christ is sending us out as sheep among wolves. We are to expect persecution, difficulty, and suffering for the sake of Christ. And the blood of the martyr is the seed of the church, and that is what we believe and what we teach. And so whoever is doing it, whether it's political or religious, we receive it in the name of Christ because we know Christ's name will be glorified.
GFA.org for more information. Thank you, Daniel, for being with us. All the best.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.